Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Antony Waste Handling Cell Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jose Jacob, Chairman and Managing Director from Antony Waste Handling Cell Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for our Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. With me, I have Mr. Mahendra Ananthula, our Group President, Mr. Subramanian, our Group CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Our investor presentation for Q2 FY25 is now available on the website of the stock exchanges and also on our company's website. For the quarter ended 30th September 2024, our operation revenue remained stable, reaching 200 crores compared to the same period last year. This softer growth was primarily due to the absence of one-time lump sum escalation receipt of 13 crores in the prior period from one of our collection and transportation Nagpur contracts. If we were to adjust for this one-off item and project roll-offs, our core operating revenue has seen a growth of 6% on a year-on-year basis. Our total operating revenue, inclusive of income from sale of recyclables and refuse-derived fuel, but exclusive of contract revenue, stood at 220 crores, reflecting stable year-over-year growth. During the quarter, our collection and transportation business saw year-on-year volume growth of 9%. Revenue on the year-on-year basis has seen a decline, and this is because of this one-time lump sum escalation receipt of 13 crores. However, if we talk about our processing revenue, it has grown by 22%, driven by power sales from our PCMC waste-to-energy plant, and I'm happy to say that our first WTE plant is working very optimally. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 49 crore, with an EBITDA margin of 21.4%. Going forward with our significant investment in our C&T business, we believe our margin to improve. I'm pleased to announce that our wholly owned subsidiary, AG Enviro Infra Projects Private Limited, has achieved a significant milestone by winning an 976 crore collection and transportation contract with Navi Mumbai Municipal Corporation. This marks the third consecutive term that we have been awarded this contract, which underscores our strong track record and exceptional reputation in securing re-tender contracts. Our continued partnership with Navi Mumbai Municipal Corporation reflects the trust they have in our operational efficiency, commitment to quality, and ability to deliver on large-scale urban waste management. In addition, we are excited to report that our construction and demolition waste management sites have now commenced operation. Initially, results are very promising, and we expect this facility to contribute meaningfully to both our operational goals and environmental sustainability objectives. By addressing C&T waste, we aim to support urban infrastructure projects while promoting the responsible recycling and reuse of materials. Our CIDCO BioMine project is also progressing on schedule, with steady advancement and successful early outcome. As this project continues to ramp up, we anticipate it will play a vital role in our portfolio. Looking ahead, we are confident that our strategic investment in the C&T business, along with the efficient operation of PCMC waste to energy plant, the successful launch of our CND construction debris waste project and the scaling up of biomining at our CIDCO project will enable us to deliver strong and sustainable long-term results. Together, these initiatives not only drive growth but also align with our commitment to building a greener, more sustainable future for the communities we serve. Thank you, and I now turning over to the operational aspect. Let me get Mahendra in. Mahendra, over to you.
Thank you, Jose. I would like to provide an update on the operational performance of Antony Waste Handling Cell Limited. We are pleased to announce the successful completion of our first anniversary of operating the waste-to-energy facility, which has achieved an impressive plant load factor of approximately 71% in the first year since its commissioning on 7th October 2023. This is significantly higher than industry average of about 60% PLF for similar projects in their first year of operations. For the coming second year, we are targeting a PLF of about 75%. During the quarter, our PCMC waste-to-energy plant produced over 22 million green units in quarter two, advancing our goal of reducing fossil fuel dependence and lowering carbon emissions. We had also avoided 3,485 tons of CO2 equivalent. During this period, we managed approximately 1.19 million tons of waste, reflecting a healthy 4% year-on-year growth. Excluding expired contracts, our organic volume growth was around 7% year-to-year, driven by the successful execution of new contracts, increased volumes at existing CNT sites. In the CNT segment, we handled a record-breaking tonnage of around 0.49 million tons in quarter two, marking a strong 9% year-on-year growth. Please note that the tonnage handled excludes projects built based on fixed shift trips or household counts. Our waste processing business managed approximately 0.70 million tons in second quarter. Our momentum remains robust as we continue to deliver impressive circular economy driven metrics. During the quarter, the company successfully sold approximately 30,500 tons of RDF and around 4,000 tons of compost in the first half of FY25. These totals reached about 64,750 tons of RDF and 10,200 tons of compost, representing year-on-year growth rates of 14% and over 100% respectively. This achievement highlights our commitment to sustainable circularity by converting inorganic fractions from municipal solid waste into RDF, aiding cement companies in meeting their alternate fuel requirement goals. On the ESG front, our Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions total approximately 12,800 and 1,700 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent in H1 of FY25 respectively, with avoided emissions amounting to approximately 6,800 tons. Our ground staff strength currently stands at about 10,252 people. As we navigate the evolving landscape of municipal solid waste management, we remain focused on driving sustainable growth and enhancing operational efficiency. We are confident that our track record, innovative approach and commitment to excellence will continue to be our strength in achieving our objectives. Thank you, and I now hand over the call to NG for financial.
Thank you, Mahendra. Good afternoon, everyone. For the second quarter, FY25, the company reported stable growth in its core operating revenue, reaching around 200 crores, consistent with the same period last year. Just to add color to what Jose had mentioned earlier, the year-on-year growth appears softer, primarily due to the absence of the one-time lump sum escalation receipt of 13 crores recorded in the prior period. Adjusted for this one-off and the project roll-off, the core operating revenue showed a 6% increase on a year-on-year basis. The quarterly performance also appears soft due to the monsoon factor, which didn't allow us to optimally operate our construction and demolition waste project, which we plan to ramp up in the second half of the current financial year. Our total operating revenue, which includes income from sale of recyclables and RDF, excluding contract revenue, stood at 220 crores. We have observed a notable shift in our revenue distribution from the second quarter of FY24 to second quarter of FY25. In the same period last year, the revenue breakdown was 66% from CNT, 21% from processing and 13% from contracts and others. For the last quarter, that is Q2 FY25, this shifted to 62% from CNT, 26% from MSW processing and 12% from contracts and others. Contract revenue in second quarter, 25 total 27 crores, a slight decrease from 29 crores in the same period last year. The group achieved a consolidated EBITDA of 49 crores with an EBITDA margin of 21.4%. Finance cost has increased from 7 crores last year to 12 crores in the last quarter, while depreciation has jumped by 54%. This is primarily due to the commercial launch of the waste-to-energy plant and the construction and demolition waste project. As of September 2024, the group's gross debt stood at approximately 397 crores with cash and bank balance of around 82 crores, resulting in a net debt of around 315 crores, indicating a net debt to equity of 0.4x. Additionally, the company has during the quarter and subsequently received 45 crores of the capital grant from the PCMC client, and the same has been applied towards debt reduction. The group's weighted average cost of debt is approximately around 9.6%. That concludes our remarks. We would like to open the floor for the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to the exact timeline. If you can give us what revenue are we going to book from each project? I'll ask project-wise for the current year as well as for the next year, so that we can get a fair understanding how the revenue is going to be moving. So first, from the Punjab Municipal Corporation, what sort of revenue is booked in this year?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You sound a bit low. Could you come a bit close to your handset?
One, yeah. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, so if you can just help me understand what is the revenue for Panvel Municipal Corporation that we expect for this year and next year? That is my first question, yeah. Similarly for other projects, yeah, as well. I'll ask one by one.
Okay, for the first half of the current financial year, Panvel added around 17.7 crores of revenue. And the PCMC power sweeping and the PCMC waste to energy added around 5 crores and around 23 crores respectively. And this is for the first half of the year.
So mechanical sweeping you said 5 crores and?
PCMC waste to energy added 23 crores.
Waste to energy added 23 crores. And similarly, when do we expect revenues coming in from CIDCO Biomining and the CNT project at Navi Mumbai?
The CND revenue from the new project will start from April 2025 onwards, because the mobilization period is 6 months. So from next financial year, we will see revenue from the NMMC contract coming in. And for the CIDCO Biomining, I think the ramp-up will start in the second half,
and the revenue will start accruing from December onwards.
So how much revenue for the year do you expect from CIDCO Biomining?
So we are looking at about 4 crores of revenue.
4 crores. Okay. And just last thing, on the construction debris, have we started booking revenue, and for the year, how much do we expect?
Sorry, can you repeat that question? We couldn't hear that clearly.
No, for the construction debris, have we started booking revenue, and what would be the revenue expectation for the current year?
For the construction and demolition waste, we have started booking the revenue. We started the CND operations only in the month of August. So the ramp-up will happen in the current financial year.
Yeah, so as NG mentioned, I mean, the CNT operations, we started in August. The processing plant operation started 10 days ago. So in approximately going forward, we expect a revenue of about 3 CR per month.
3 CR per month. Okay.
Starting from
starting from?
Yeah. I mean, starting from this thing, but at an average, I mean, for the next 4 months, so you can say that we will have about a revenue of 12 to 15 crores.
Got it. And just one more thing. We formed a subsidiary specifically to help corporates meet their EPR. If you can throw some light on this as well.
So the construction and demolition waste, according to the white paper that was floated, for developers, approximately 10% of their materials that they use need to be from repurposed or recycled materials. So that is one of the mandates that has been floated by the government. So the EPR angle is definitely an revenue generation point for the company in this aspect. But the main core revenue for us would be the tipping fees from the client. Sales or revenue from EPR would be additional over and above what we can get it from the tipping fees.
Got it. And if you can just throw light on the projects which are completed and what was their revenue contribution last year and how much this year we are, I mean, if you can just light on the project that is completed and their revenue contribution.
The only project that got completed last year was the Mangalore collection and transportation business, and that contributed for the same period last year, that is for the H1 FY24, it contributed around 17.4 crores.
17.
So if you were to look at on an H1 to H1 basis, incremental revenue from new projects added around 45.8 crores. If you were to deduct the Mangalore revenue and the Nagpur escalation one-time thing, the increase in revenue, core revenue for the H1 period would be around 12% for the company.
Can you just repeat the figure, last figure?
Total revenue from new projects would be around 46 crores. Revenue from expired projects, 17 crores from Mangalore, and Nagpur escalation was 13 crores as you mentioned. So if you net off these two numbers, then we are looking at a core revenue growth of around 12.1% in the H1 period.
Okay, got it. Fair enough, fair enough. I'll get back into you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you give us the core EBITDA and core margin reported during the quarter?
The core EBITDA during the quarter was around 48.9 crores and the core EBITDA margin is around
20.1%. 20.1. Okay. And as we stand today, what's the outlook for, you know, the second half and anything new in pipeline in terms of newer geographies or de-risking, any updates on that?
For the second half of the year, we are looking at least a 15 to 16% top line growth, which includes ramp up of operation at the biomining of the C&D project, ramp up of operations at our waste to energy entity, which will see an improved PLF post the maintenance shutdown. And sale from my construction and demolition waste. So that gives us comfort of achieving around 14 to 18% kind of a growth in the second half itself. On the project pipeline?
On the project pipeline, I mean, we are looking at couple of waste to energy and couple of C&T projects, mainly in the western region.
Oh. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashvi Changotia from JRK Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So for my question would be, sir, could you throw some light and more perspective on what are the future perspectives for the next year? And how are we looking forward to expand the margins?
So as I mentioned that we are looking at a couple of waste to energy and couple of C&T projects. Okay. But most importantly, another major initiative which is still on the drawing board stage, but we are exploring setting up of a large waste-to-energy project at our existing Kanjur facility. As I mentioned, we are still exploring that. We are in discussion with BMC. We had a couple of rounds of meetings, and we have submitted a proposal, a brief concept, I would say, to them in terms of how we would like to take it as part of our existing mandate. So that's something which is going to be one of our major initiatives for the next year as far as the conventional business goes. Secondly, as we had always mentioned about our commitment to get into vehicle scrapping facility and so on, and as we mentioned in the previous earning call as well, we had decided to buy land instead of taking land on rent to set up this facility. To de-risk this project. So we have made progress. We have already identified the piece of land near Mumbai, and we will. We have already submitted the application. Application has made progress within MIDC circles, and post election, which is due sometime later this month, their land acquisition committee is likely to give the land to us, allot the land to us. So that will make us eligible to apply for license for this vehicle scrapping facility. So these two projects that I mentioned, are going to be we are going to focus on these two initiatives in the next couple of quarters and years.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Rajput from Ritz Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you please throw some light on your trade receivables and intangible assets, because it was contributing around 18 to 20% in your balance sheet.
So on the trade receivables, the long-term receivables is part of the retention money as per the tender condition, which gets released at the end of the contract. So the total DSOs, including long-term receivables, stands around 112. Post the subsequent period after the quarter close, we have received a significant amount of sums, and now our DSOs is around 72. So that's on the receivables front. Intangibles are basically money spent as capital expenditure in our Kanjur processing facility towards the material recovery and the composting plant and the waste to energy project. So these two are sitting as intangibles in the books of assets, because these projects are on deboot nature, and as per accounting standard 115, this needs to be treated as either financial assets or as intangibles.
Oh. So what is your future plan for diversification? Because as of now, your most of the processing plants are in Mumbai, and you are mostly concentrated towards them.
apart from the geographic thing, because apart from Mumbai, we also are present in the north, in the Delhi NCR region, and so on. What we think is that opportunities are here much more. Than some of the other regions. Although we are looking at a couple of business opportunities in the states of Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, but these are still early days, because not much progress has happened as far as those tenders are concerned. But geographically, we want to focus on western region by and large. And in terms of projects, as I mentioned, that those waste-to-energy and vehicle scrapping facility, that is going to provide us a lot of, de-risking.
So, is we having any other contract other than waste to energy and vehicle scrapping from municipal corporation for solid waste management or processing side?
So, in the municipal solid waste, apart from this, there is a bio CNG project that we are looking at, and then there are a couple of composting and MRF facility. But those sizes are smaller, so that's why we are focused more on the waste to energy and bio CNG to some extent.
And sir, my final question is regarding your guidance toward revenue and margins, because in recent quarter your margin has been hit by more than 50%, because in quarter 2 FY24 your PBT margin is around 16% and now is standing at 8.4%.
Yeah, so one of the main factors for the fall in our pre-tax margins is increase in interest and depreciation cost. So that is also predominantly because of the waste to energy being put to action. So before that it was under capital work in progress, right? So once the plant is commissioned and is put to work, the interest and depreciation cost kicks in, and this was what we had already guided in the past. So the plan of the company is to reduce the debt, which is what we are doing, so that the conversion from EBITDA to pre-tax is significant sum, which can help us roll out more business going forward.
So actually your EBITDA margins is also seen as some fall, because in quarter 2 FY24 is EBITDA margin standing at 24.6% and now it is on 21.4%. Is there any sort of guidance which you wanted to give on a EBITDA side?
We stand by our previous guidance of a 22 to 23% EBITDA margin for the financial year. So if you were to make those adjustments of escalations and revenue increase and everything, we would be looking at a 23 to 24% margin on a YTD basis. But the company stands with this guidance of around 23% EBITDA margin for the financial year 2025.
Oh, that's all from my side. Thank you for answering my whole question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh from Autumn. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. My first question is on the CapEx. So what would be the CapEx like for FY25, 26, 27?
So for FY25, you're looking at a CapEx of around 78 crores, which includes the newly bagged contract for the collection and transportation business. In FY26, it will be around 25 crores. And in FY27, assuming we don't bag any contracts, we will have a repeat capex of around 25 odd crores related to Kanjurmarg and the waste to energy project. We don't see anything beyond that. Of course, this will change based on new project wins.
Sure. And the other one is on the your debt reduction. So we have reduced some debt this year. So what would be the trajectory of debt in the next 2 years?
To put it into perspective, if the company doesn't bag any new contracts and we are able to generate the kind of cash flows from our existing projects to the tune of 120 to 130 crores, we would be debt free in 5 years period of time.
Okay, so by like FY29 basically?
Yes, if we don't bag any new contracts.
Sure. And just one question on the current quarter. So if I look at the revenue from collection and transportation, about 152 crores we did. 141 crores we did. Last time it was about 152 crores. And this includes 13 crores of escalation. So if I exclude that, there has been a decline there has been increase. But the volume has increased by about 1%. So what is that difference coming from?
So you also need to remove close to 9 crores of Mangalore revenues. So two things. One is the 13 crores of revenue from escalation and the 9 crores of revenue from Mangalore, which is absent in the current quarter. So you need to compare that. So on an apples to apples, the core operating revenue is up by around 9%. Adjusted for the Mangalore and the escalation items.
Okay, sure, that is helpful. And just last one question. You discussed that you are looking to set up maybe a waste to energy plant at Kanjurmarg. So I know still it is on the drawing board, but just to understand, will it be like the size would be bigger than that at Chinchwad, or like if something about that?
Yeah, it's going to be definitely much bigger than that. I mean, because also, Mumbai is a large city. I mean, so we are looking at, as of now, as we speak, we are looking at three lines of 1,000 tons per day each. So about 3,000 tons per day of waste to energy is what we're looking at, which is about 4 times that of the PCMC plant.
Sure. So like the Chinchwad is about 14 megawatts. So would it be, it would be like about 3 times that capacity?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. About 4 times, right?
So, see, typically in this, I mean, you know, one should look at the intake capacity of the waste. So, PCMC is, yes, 14 megawatt with 700 tons per day. This is about 4 times. 3.5 to 4 times is what I would say, yeah.
Sure. That is very helpful. Thank you very much. That's all for my take.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pushkar Jain from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, can you hear me?
Can you please speak louder?
Yeah. My question was in terms of the growth guidance for next 2-3 years and the sustained EBITDA margin. So what do you think would be our guidance for like next?
Sir, can you please repeat the question? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, so my question is regarding the sustainable revenue growth for next 2-3 years and the sustained EBITDA margin you think is possible in the next 2-3 years.
So we are confident of growing the core revenue growth by around 25% CAGR over the next 3 to 4 years based on the existing contracts and the project ramp up that we have at the PCMC and the construction and demolition waste. Our margin profile should be steady of around 23% over the next 3 to 4 years if everything goes as per our scheduled plan.
Right. And on the data days, did I hear it correctly that it's reduced from 112 to 72?
Yeah, that is the collections made subsequent to the quarter end.
So why, how is it steep fall, sir, if you can explain in the data days?
So the data days, normally what happens is corporations release the payment after a due diligence and records. So the bills are raised at the end of the quarter. The payment gets released anywhere between 20 to 25 days after the period ends. Since the reporting end dates are for accounting purposes also end of the quarter, that is why you see a lumpiness there and the realization happens during the quarter period.
Okay, so but our like actually the data day should be in the range of 75 to 85 like normally?
So normally yes, it's always on the same line. So around 72 to 74 days is what my rolling DSOs are.
Okay, okay sir. Thanks a lot for the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujash Chaudhary from Sujas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yep.
Actually, I have two questions. What's your plan about new technology in waste to management or in electrical e-waste product?
So as we had mentioned in the previous earning calls, I mean, you know, we have prioritized in terms of what are the segments in circular economy themes that we want to diversify into. So to start with, we are focused more on the vehicle scrapping and tire scrapping facility.
So you are not in the focus of e-waste like battery or in the field of...
So e-waste we are exploring. The market is not reached a size, but we are exploring. We have been doing research on it. I think in future we'll come up with a e-waste too.
And are you planning for the private companies capex also? Like last time you have said about the bottle waste management something.
Can you please repeat that question?
I'm asking you, are you looking for the not only in the government but also in the private sector also?
So basically, this municipal solid waste management is collected from all household and hotel by the municipal corporation. So it is controlled by the municipal corporation about 80 to 90%, and in the smaller towns, the panchayat. So it is not like we can just go and collect everywhere. At present, that size of market, what you're talking, it is very small. So we are focusing on the larger size market.
So are you planning to expand in other country also, or only focus in India right now in terms of?
For the moment, Indian market is pretty good and big, and we are not there's a huge opportunity in pan-India basis.
Okay.
So there are some inquiries from the Middle East, okay, but we are very clear that we would like to work there only if it comes without any investment, and our contribution will essentially be more of knowledge and mindware.
And what's your plan right now? Are you planning for something like raising money from market or something?
Currently, the kind of debt profile that we have and the financial flexibility that we have is more than adequate to meet our existing requirements and even the proposed capital requirements in our existing line of business. We will definitely reach out to the market if opportunity increases and there is something which can be banked on.
Okay. So you are planning in the South India, like Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, that can be mentioned. So are you bidding for the contracts right now, or the contract is still going to be happen?
So the risk management committee at Antony reviews all the proposals that's being given out, and we have definitely reviewed the projects in the southern part of the country. The management is definitely looking at those opportunities, and if it meets our equity and cash equity IRRs thresholds, we will be bidding for the same.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chandan Mishra from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, my first question is related to the projects. You have currently 24 running projects. What is the completion period for that?
So the existing projects have a timeline of around the waste processing projects have a timeline of around 2042, and the collection transportation projects average exit period would be till 2029.
My next question is regarding guidance, sir. Actually, I have joined late, so I have missed some part. Would you please provide me guidance for next year, sir, and this year end?
So we are confident of growing our company with a CAGR core revenue growth of around 25% over the next 3 to 5 years. And the EBITDA margins will be sustained around 23%-24% from the existing projects that we have.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know, in terms of ROC ranking, if you can provide which project gives us the best-in-class ROC, if you can give the pecking order.
So ROC will inch up from now onwards, given the fact that most of the capital phase has been over. So the denominator is almost going to stagnate going forward, but for the waste collection and transportation CapEx that we have incurred. So we see our ROC expand from Q4 of 2025 onwards, and that should average at least 75 to 120 basis points from the levels that we have achieved now.
Sir, I meant if you can give a project-wise pecking order of ROC.
No, I don't think we would like to discuss the return metrics project-wise because it's a bit of a business-centric proposition here.
Only if you can just mention the pecking order. If you cannot mention the absolute number, that's fine.
So, the collection and transportation definitely gives a better ROCE because the capital employed is not as high as a waste-to-energy or a waste processing project. So, the priority for ROCE per se would be collection transportation, where the CapEx is provided by the corporation, followed by collection and transportation where the capex is funded by the company, and third in that order would be waste processing contracts. But the nature of the business are very different. The longevity, the stickiness and the annuity modes are also needs to be considered when we are looking at the contracts that we bid for.
Right. And in terms of cash IRRs also, with the pecking order be same?
No, that will be different because the ratios will be different. The clientele receivables are also different. So the cash in a utopian environment, I think yes, the pecking order would remain the same because zero capex, better IRRs, few capex, slightly lower than better IRRs and that are one. But we prefer a long-term visibility to revenue, a stable work environment and a counterparty risk which can be addressed and banked down.
Right. So I mean just because in the PPT you mentioned that we evaluate each and every project. So what is the desired cash IRR target that we look internally for any project? A bare minimum, what would be their number?
So, I mean, these are very dynamic in nature given the needs and our proximity and the project aspects. But normally, the basic threshold will be at least a delta over the cost of borrowing that we have. And since we are in an infrastructure business, the cost of borrowing is anywhere between 9.5% to 11.5% depending upon the risk of the project and the execution of the same.
Right. Got it. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Would you have the volume tonnage of the CNT and the processing business, Andy?
Sorry, can you, you are asking about the CNT or the construction and demolition?
CNT and the MSW processing, the volume for the quarter or the first half, whatever can be with you.
So it was around point...
No, are you asking for this year's thing or this quarter's number or
the
overall market size?
Quarter.
Quarter, we did about 1.19 million tons. In the CNT segment, the collection and transportation segment, we did about 0.49 million tons in this quarter.
0.49. And the MSW processing?
Processing is 0.70 million.
0.70. And would you have the first half number?
First half number.
Okay.
So basically, quarter two in CNT, we did about nine. No, that was a year-on-year growth. I think we'll get back to you.
And you know, you mentioned you seem pretty confident of 22 to 23% EBITDA and you know the core revenue growth being almost 25%. So what gives you that visibility for second half?
So when we mentioned 25%, that's a CAGR growth over the next 3 to 5 years. It's not for the second half. One. Second is our second quarter normally sees a spike in our repairs and maintenance cost. Bulk of our collection and transportation projects are entering in the fourth year of their operation, which normally sees a significant repairs and maintenance cost coming in. So we have incurred a large amount of investment cost during the second quarter for the upkeep of those collection and transportation assets, which kind of gives us a longer payback over the next 3 to 4 years of the project life. So that is the philosophy of Anthony Waste, where we kind of do our entire repairs and maintenance. We don't capitalize them. We kind of OPEX the repairs and maintenance cost and we do it during the mid of the project life so that the benefit is available for the balance life of the project. The confidence that we get how we are providing for the guidance is basically because the collection and transportation and the waste processing are long-term contracts with a tonnage growth which is there for us. we exited the June quarter with an order book of around 8,300 crores to be spread over the next 12 to 14 years. So that kind of has a fixed revenue visibility for us without the escalation kicking in. So that kind of gives us a comfort on giving you the guidance. The positive for us is the ramp up of Sidco Biomining, which is expected in second half, and the construction and demolition waste, which is yet to deliver those numbers. So the base effect will help us deliver those results.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pushkar Jain from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So actually, I missed on the ROCE question. So what do you think is our steady-state ROCE? Like, we expect a steady-state ROCE from here on as most of the capex is done.
So we should be in mid to low to mid-teens going forward, because our denominator is going to be much higher than what it was historically. So anywhere between 11% to 14% over the next project rollouts should be our comfort zone, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Harish Swaminathan, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on the Mangalore project. Have you received the full money from them now that they have discontinued operations?
We have received 70% of the total outstanding. The balance will be received over the next 15 months.
Okay. And secondly, can you mention the potential of the click-to-clean initiative? How much do we get from that initiative now, and how big is that?
So this has really got the traction. We have been able to work with few large developers. We have got a large order from the Runwal Group to start on the click-to-clean business. So it has got a good traction. We will be able to give you better numbers by March end when the long-term contracts are signed off and we have a revenue visibility at that end.
Okay. On the Chennai project, can you mention the likelihood of us getting it?
The Chennai contract, there's a significant risk, the counterparty risk, because the buyer of the power and the recipient and the payment would be from the TNEB, which a lot of bankers are not making it bankable. So that is a contract that we will not be able to go ahead given the significant counterparty risk. And currently for the waste to energy in Chennai, we will give it a miss. But we are exploring other projects with the municipal corporation over there.
Okay. And my last question is there a likelihood, I mean, it is just an open thought in my mind, that we look at something like a QIP, not at current price levels, but at whatever comfortable price levels to strategic people, not bankers or not investment firms, but global firms like Waste Management Inc. or global waste management companies, so that we also benefit out of their technological alliance or partnership, and our perception also goes up, and we can solve our debt issue without waiting for 5 years with no orders, as you said, because ours is a running business. So it is just a thought. I'm sure you are better equipped than to handle these things, but this is just an open thought in my mind. If you'd like to comment now, or you can choose to just receive my suggestion. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so we have not specifically thought about any QIP with any strategic players in the current business. However, we are open to the idea of tying up for the new segment that we are trying to get into, which is our tire recycling, or going forward if we get into e-waste or plastic processing. So for that, strategic tie-up with some of these global majors or technology suppliers or operators is something that we'd be looking forward to.
Thank you.
Kindly unmute your IR.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. You mentioned about the ROC. Go to mid-teen, 76%.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Could you come a bit close to your handset?
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned about the steady-state ROC in the low to mid-teen, 11 to 14%. If you can just throw some light on the ROE front, because ROC, I mean, if the cost of borrowing is closer to 9.5%, which even goes up to 11-odd%, so 14%, isn't it a too low ROC with the level of risk, data risk that you have in the business? So if you can throw some light on the ROE as well, steady state ROE.
On the ROE part, given the fact that my denominator, the net worth is going to keep on increasing because we currently are not looking at issuing dividends, which is one of the ways of reducing our equity base. So we will see our ROE being in single digits for some time. ROC is mainly a factor of the kind of capital that we are raising and the long-term duration of the construction phase. If you were to look at waste processing contracts, they are normally take anywhere between 24 to 36 months for the construction phase, and they really are high in capital, and the balance sheet really gets added up by 25 to 30% at each time a new waste to energy or a waste processing contract comes in, while the revenue and EBITDA contribution is over the next 20 years, which kind of really gives us chug-along growth rate. So the ROC, though you are saying is right, but from a waste processing and long-term annuity model, it's like any other infrastructure, road structure kind of a company, but ROC is large upfront and then kind of peters off on the capital base.
Right. Even if we take a average ROE, what would that number be somewhere? If you can just throw some light on. I understand the upfront.
We would be looking at around 8% as has been a historical average. It was as high as 14%, but that was on a lower equity base. As and when we go with the corporate restructuring and changes that's likely to initiate over the next couple of years, we would see an internal hurdle rate of around at least high teens to start with. I mean, that is something that we have as a goalpost, but it's going to be at least a 7 to 8 year kind of a work in progress for us.
I mean, the number looks really low when it comes to ROE as well. I mean, the level of risk that we have in the business. I mean, is it the reason that a lot of people don't bid for such kind of processing large-term, long-term contracts? Or is it to do with the difficulty of this business? Or how, I mean, if you can throw this light, some light on this as well.
It's a combination of both. Most of the projects in the waste management requires a significant debt to equity ratio. It's like 70-30 kind of a debt equity ratio that you need to bid for such projects. So that is why you are seeing a large equity component being invested in these kind of entities. Collection and transportation, normally you can get away with around 90-95% debt equity kind of a number. But the CNG business is a low bubble kind of a thing, so you can execute multiple of them. But when we are talking about waste processing, the equity is a daunting number which kind of doesn't allow a large number of players to enter the business. And also there is a significant counterparty risk, which is something which doesn't allow a lot of players to get into the PX.
So ideally speaking, summing up everything, isn't CNT project the best format to work with?
That is true, because if you look at our revenue profile, in the past it was close to 70-30, 70 being CNT and 30 being waste processing. That has moved towards 60-40 now for us, and that is also primarily because the margin profile is also different in CNT versus processing. The CNT margin profile keeps on a downward trajectory over the project life because of higher repairs and maintenance, and you are working with a multiple bouquet of clients which have a varied risk profile. While in case of waste processing, you work with few clients and the risk profile is much more evenly spread out based on your selection criteria.
Fair enough. Yeah. Thank you. That's
also beyond the numbers. I mean, you know, one has to also look at the entry barriers and where we can have a differentiation. So when it comes to collection and transportation today, I mean, depending on the size, I mean, even a regional player can compete against you, right? Because then it just boils down to the price. Whereas in the case of processing, I mean, it's actually much more technologically advanced. So the chances of smaller players getting in are extremely low. And people have tried in the past, but they figured out that it's a different ball game. So that's why in the balance of things, I mean, I think we're supposed to have a balanced portfolio, a combination of CNT and processing projects for long-term sustainability.
Got it. Fair enough. Thanks for the elaborate answer. Thank you so much. That is so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi from Green Cow Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Rishi, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Rishi, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the participant, ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we have reached the end of our Q&A session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Josh Jacob for closing comments.
I wish to convey my heartfelt gratitude to our committed team whose tireless efforts have played a pivotal role in accomplishing our goals. We are continuously building on our capabilities to enhance our operational efficiency and service delivery. Our unwavering focus remains on delivering consistent operational and financial performance while creating long-term value for our shareholders. By investing in innovation and leveraging our expertise, we aim to strengthen our position in the market and drive sustainable growth for the future. I am optimistic that our path towards a cleaner and greener future will be marked by continuous success. Thank you and happy and prosperous New Year.
Thank you. On behalf of Antony Waste Handling Cell Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.